I'm just of the opinion that when you're an adult and when you're married, you shouldn't have to do anything that you don't want to do, you know, like family, friends, like these things feel immutable. Like I have this relationship with this person and therefore I have to do X, Y, Z. That's just not true. Like you don't have to go to your family's Thanksgiving if you don't want to, right? Mm-hmm. There's maybe consequences, but like you don't, you can live the life that you would like to live, you know, and you can't let other people dictate how you live.
I know it hurts. I'm sorry. It's not your point. All right, you came to the right place, you ding dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's behind door number two. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. And this is a special edition of The Crunch podcast called Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, where we answer some of the many dating questions that we get in our Discord. If you want to submit a dating question to our podcast, you can go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord. You can go to the Dating Corner channel and you can submit your question there. Usually it'll get answered right away by one of our members, and then we'll answer it on the podcast. You can also DM it to us privately. That's bit.ly/crunchdiscord. But Ethan, first, before we get into the questions today, we need to do an inquisition.
An inquisition?
Yeah, we need to examine you.
Me?
Someone has called your professional competence into question.
No.
On our Discord.
First of all, I have a license for doctor. And I don't think it's appropriate to have a non-licensed member of the to question me. I'm a doctor of the heart and a surgeon of the mind, and people don't give me enough respect. I think I'm 27. I have a job.
Mm-hmm. Multiple.
You know, multiple jobs. Too many. Some have said.
Some might say.
And I think I need to be respected. So if anyone wants to inquisit me, then I'm gonna push back with force.
This is, I don't know who said this because you just posted the text in the chat, but I'll read it.
Please.
I've come to a realization about Ethan's dating philosophy that I think differs from the way college students and young people today approach relationships. I thought I'd share my thoughts. Would love if you guys talk more about this on the pod or even mention it on the cast. I love that people do that. I love our audience so much. Talk about it on the pod, maybe on the cast. So funny. Ethan.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm misrepresenting you here, but it seems like your philosophy is something along the lines of go on a date to get to know the girl, see if you like her. But what I found is more common, both for me and for the way I've approached dating with most of my guy friends, is that don't date your guy friends. That doesn't make sense. Oh, wait, was this a girl who said I didn't? This is a man or a woman speaking?
This is a fella. This is a gentleman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sweet.
The time we ask a girl on a date, we already know that we like her. I could be wrong here, but I think this is the way most young people approach dating these days. In the past little over a year, I've asked a few different women on a date. In each instance, I was pretty sure I wanted to date the girl in question by the time I asked her out. Not positive, but in two instances, it was a woman that I was already friends with prior, and on the third date, it was a girl who I had a decent idea on the person she was and thought it was worth pursuing. At this point, the date becomes more than just going to a coffee shop to talk for an hour, but instead, it's the first step towards an exclusive relationship. So that's how this guy and his friends approach dating. He finds it to be more common, and your advice flies in the face of that. What say you?
Yeah, he has another paragraph that I didn't send to you, but he basically says, you guys generally say that dating needs to be more casual, but I think it's difficult for people to relate to your advice if it goes against their mindset of dating is taking the steps towards an exclusive relationship. I responded in the Discord briefly and said we would talk about this on the pod, but I think he's taking advice that's directed at one group of people and applying it to a separate group of people. So a lot of times when we get questions from men, the question typically revolves around, I don't know what to do. Should I ask her out? Should I not ask her out? I'm scared. And so typically it's like, who cares? Like, who cares what's going to happen with the friend group? Who cares if you like her or not? Just take her on the date, right?
Yep.
And so like the advice for it to be more casual is like you, or like the guy last week that was like, I yearn for this woman. It's like, you need to calm down, you know,
just ask her on a date. It's okay.
Right. Just ask her on a date. It's okay. And then you can figure it out from there. So I think there's a different subset of people. There's, you know, two different groups as you kind of figured out. It's like, there's the group of people that are maybe afraid of dating, who are unsure of themselves, who don't know what they want and are not taking any action. But then there's people like you, question asker, who's like, I like this girl. I've spent time getting to know her and I'm asking her out because I like her and I want to date her. And I think that's a different group of people. I think that's a much smaller group of men that like know what they want and are willing to ask women out to pursue that.
Yeah. The big key is that you're asking these women out.
Right.
That's the big green flag for me.
So like naturally the advice that we give to this larger bucket of people over here won't apply to you because you don't have the same problems. You might still have problems and I'd be happy to answer them. So please write in
for a small fee
for maybe a large for a small fee.
Okay.
I don't think a doctor has ever done anything for a small fee. I'm going to say that not right now. So I think that's a fair critique of our dating philosophy on the show, but I think that I think that there's no piece of advice that is universal to all people. I just think there's a few archetypes that you can generally help, and then if someone needs more specific advice or their situation is outside of the norm, then you have to kind of go in depth in that particular situation.
Yes, because
does that make sense?
You, dear listener.
Yeah.
Are doing what group A, the group that gets Ethan's advice, the group A is not doing. They're not even getting to know the girl.
Right.
But you are through other means,
mm-hmm.
which some might consider date. Like you're probably hanging out with this person, talking to them after mass.
Yeah.
Getting to know them, being like, hey, do you want to go? You know, you might even have gotten coffee with them one-on-one already. And so it's like you're in a different situation. You're getting to know the girl on your own. Sweet.
Yeah.
Maybe before you do anything formal, that's what you want. That's fine. But I think guys that are paralyzed with fear need that mm-hmm. kick. Be like, just ask the girl out. It's not a big deal.
I also think it's kind of obvious that like, if you like a girl, ask her out, you know, like if you know that you like her,
mm-hmm.
I just don't, there's like not a lot of advice that needs to be given for that situation.
I will say there's some nuance with like, don't wait until you know you want to be exclusive with a girl until you go on a date with her. If you have an inkling that you like her, go on the date.
Right.
Because in reality, you don't know.
Right. I think there's a lot of flex room in between these two. Like I've been friends with her and I know I really like her and I've, you know, had enough experiences to know that I would want to date her, all the way down to like, I don't even know if I like her at all. You know, but I think maybe I should ask her out. Like there's like all kinds of different variations of like time and amount that you know each other and the types of dates that you go on and the length of the stage before you're exclusive in a relationship. There's a ton of flexibility there. Like it shouldn't be definitive, you know, of you have to do these many dates and this many hangouts and you have to be this friends for this amount of time. That would be silly. And I hope I've never come across that way, as there's strict boundaries. Because I think it's all different because everybody's at a different level. You know, people who are really well-formed need very different advice than people who are not well-formed at all. A guy who's addicted to porn needs different advice from a guy that isn't. Like,
yes,
you know.
All advice should be taken with a grain of salt. Two spoonfuls.
Yeah. I am insured by the dating commission. So if my advice gets you killed, you can't sue me. So,
That's not how malpractice insurance works. You still get sued. You just get it. The
payout. I'm just protected. I'm protected by the medical mafia.
Yes.
They keep me out of jail.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, real question time. Thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great. I want everyone to tell me that I'm dumb.
If you have the question, ask it because someone else has the question too. You know, someone else is thinking, man, Ethan's advice is jack.
Yeah.
Worth nothing. Not worth the paper it's printed on. All right. This one comes from Amanda, please. Question sort of about dating. My husband and I, so not about dating.
Great. Easy.
Have a mutual friend who gifted us a double date coupon for Christmas. Sorry, the friend don't gave you guys a... That's kind of cute.
It's he like, now wants... they just want someone to hang out with. This isn't really a gift. This is like you That's get so to sad. Hang out with me now. This is your present.
That's so sad. He now wants to take us out on an activity.
It's like
I really
me giving
don't
you
enjoy.
A coupon, like one free conversation with Ethan.
He now wants to take us out for an activity I don't really enjoy with another couple. The third couple, my husband knows from high school and doesn't really like or get along with. The mutual friend is an extrovert and very much more people activity like kind of guy. He throws big parties for every event. I'm worried he will be hurt or misunderstand our position. My husband and I are much lower key, and we're hoping for just a truly soft double date night. I'm pregnant. They have a newborn. We don't get a babysitter or go out often, and it feels like a waste of time to go out for an outing we don't want to go out to. Yeah. How do we present our feelings without being ungrateful or hurting our friend's feelings? He seemed really surprised and didn't respond well when I mentioned I'd prefer to not do the activity. How do I gently say no thanks? Can we just get pho with you guys or something?
So what's the third, where did the third couple come from? So I thought it was just like one couple gave a coupon to another couple. And then now we're talking about
it. Seems like it violates the terms of the coupon. It's not a double date anymore.
Did she say what the activity was that she didn't want to do?
It's an activity she does not really enjoy.
Mm.
I feel like if you give someone, okay, here,
if it's like we're all going to go smoke meth and I want you to come. Like, okay, that makes sense.
No, I would say even if it's like, we're going to go to get hibachi. And you're like, I really don't like hibachi.
That's crazy. And I don't know how anyone could not like hibachi.
It's just everything delicious.
You got the yum yum sauce. You got the onion volcano. You got the, this is choo choo. And he pushes it along.
I'm such an idiot. My birthday's coming up and I said, let's get pizza. I should have said, let's get hibachi.
Oh,
goodness great.
He rolls
actually,
the egg.
I haven't gotten hibachi with a toddler yet. Maybe that's not
it's
a fun
hard.
Experience.
We went with Peter a couple months ago. It's a pain because he's not. Leo might be old enough to like be entranced by the flames.
Sure.
Peter wanted to get down and walk around. Like he didn't really want to sit there for very long. Yeah. So
wanted to touch the table.
Yeah. He can't catch the shrimp because he's so uncoordinated. He embarrassed me in front
of
everybody.
He is a shrimp.
Yeah.
That sounded aggressive. Sorry.
Yeah. Why are you bullying my son on a podcast?
It's not his fault. He's a little shrimp, a little tiny prawn.
He's big. He's big and strong.
If your friend gets upset, it's possibly. Oh, okay. There is an update. We'll answer the question, then we'll have an update.
Okay.
Your friend has given you a gift, and I don't think he gets to dictate the terms of the gift.
Correct.
You know, it's like he's giving something to you, and so he can't be upset that you don't want to receive it. And, you know, like, a double date coupon. It's like, well, this is what I want. I want to hang out with you 2-on-2. I want to, like, get food with you guys and just hang out. I don't want to go underwater skydiving.
It's just diving. You've invented diving. It's just regular.
It's regular, but it's floating
regular
upwards.
Diving. Yeah.
They're just going like this.
Yeah, I understand that you might be concerned about people taking it the wrong way, but I'm just of the opinion that when you're an adult and when you're married, you shouldn't have to do anything that you don't want to do. You know, like family, friends, like these things feel immutable. Like I have this relationship with this person and therefore I have to do XYZ. That's just not true. Like you don't have to go to your family's Thanksgiving if you don't want to, right? Mm-hmm. There's maybe consequences, but like you can live the life that you would like to live, you know, and you can't let other people dictate how you live it. And so if this guy is trying to make you do hibachi underwater and you don't want to do that, then just go to him and say like, hey, you gave us this coupon. Exactly what you said. You gave us this coupon. It was a gift to us. It feels like you can even say this. Like, it feels like you're forcing us to do something that you want to do.
And that's not a present.
Which is not a present. It's like, it's fine if you want to invite us to do that, but you can't. Like, I would just say like, you gave us a gift and then as like a way to hang out with you. And instead of letting us redeem the gift, you're telling us, You're basically giving us homework. Like you have to come and do this thing with me.
I figured it out, by the way. It's Topgolf. He wants to go to Topgolf and they don't want to go with him.
I think that's fine. Topgolf sucks.
You don't like Topgolf?
I love Topgolf. But for the average person, it's not a good hang. Because like golf.
Yeah.
It's like you're never like you're always kind of It's like bowling, right? Where you're just kind of up and back and up and back. And it's golf is hard because it's like not everyone is good at it. Not everyone is good at it.
It's like bowling.
Right. So like it's one of those things where unless you want to be good at it or like it, it's not really a good team or fun outing for people.
She gave an update where she doesn't want to do it because like there's a physical restriction too. She doesn't want to do anything swings.
Because the baby, yeah.
He got frustrated, asked for a list of activities we don't want to do because nobody has ever turned him down before. That's I'm kind of frustrated because it would be impossible to make an exhaustive list
of all the things I don't want to do. Yeah.
He keeps emphasizing that the gift was for them to take us on the date, so we don't get to choose.
Okay. Then I would just calmly and politely say, I don't want this gift anymore then, if you are going to, like, it feels rude, but it's like he's being rude too.
Yeah.
Like, this is a rude thing to say, like, oh, our gift to you is that you have to do what we say. That's not a gift.
Yeah. No, perhaps he thinks of it as like a package, like if he's designed this vacation package for you.
Sure.
But see.
But who wants to go on a vacation by force?
I know.
It's like getting arrested and the cop's like, this is, I did this for you. You know?
It sounds like he really wants to go to Topgolf and pay for you guys to go to Topgolf. It must be that, you know?
It's crazy that he said, thank you. It's crazy that he said, this has never happened to me before, which is just a huge red flag, in my opinion. If someone's like, no one has ever turned me down before, it's like, whoa.
Ooh, hey.
Ever? Ever? For anything?
I doubt that.
Yeah. Either you. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think just making it very clear that you don't see this as a gift and that it's lost its giftiness. I think just lay down the ultimatum. Like, I want to redeem this with you guys. Like, I would love to hang out with you guys. You guys are my good friends. I really am at a place with pregnancy and with marriage right now that like, we really just want to go get dinner and then go home. That's all we really want. And if you don't want to do that with us, then we're not interested in doing any other thing. But like, that's where we're at.
Sorry.
You know, sorry. And you just have to like, and it might sting. Like, it might be awkward for a couple weeks or months. But then you get over it, you know, you just invite them to the next thing and you see each other at a party. And it's like, hey, it's crazy. We didn't go to Topgolf. You remember how your husband said nobody has ever turned him down for anything ever?
Even,
weird.
Ethan and I are both extroverted.
Yeah.
That's not an extrovert thing. That's like a narcissism thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I love
not like clinical narcissism. But
I love
like,
dancing. I love Topgolf. I love parties. I love it when my friends want to go do these things with me. But when they say, no, I would rather stay home and like work on the garden, I don't say no one has ever treated me like this before.
Yes. Ethan and I are both extroverts married to introverts.
Yeah.
Hardcore, some might say. And I don't think I've ever been like, no, Phoebe, you have to go do this thing with me. With the exception of the proposal in front of 500 people. That was the only time I forced my wife to be social.
You did trick her into getting married in a Polynesian style.
Yes. And as we all know, I am Polly. Sorry.
You can't do that twice.
I can't do it two episodes in a row. That's not funny. Oh, man.
I saw a video that was like, yeah, I'm straight passing. Straight passing gas. And he just farts. It was so funny. Anyway,
I saw one that was like girls be like, I'm Polly, what do you want, a cracker? That's my favorite.
That's good.
That's the best one.
It's good. Okay,
he didn't that say girls good. Though he said a derogatory word.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
This episode of The Crunch is sponsored by Briefcase Marketing. If you work or know people who work or are a Catholic parish, you need to listen to this.
Okay.
Hold on. I used to work at a church. You guys know this. Yeah. And website design is very important to me because it can be the difference between getting no phone calls from confused parents or 1,000 phone calls from confused parents about when your events are or where forms are located. You know,
it's dangerous. I've never worked in a parish, but I have used many, 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 many parish websites where I've spent, it's like with a machete in the African jungle trying to find the mass times. And I think we've all had that experience.
Yeah. And they're not updated
and they're wrong. And you show up and the church is empty and you miss mass for that day. And you call your dad and you're like, what do I do? And he says, I don't know. This is your fault. And it's just a mess. And you get yourself in a big old mess. And what Briefcase Marketing does, they make sure that mess doesn't happen. You know, nobody has to go through that. Yes.
The Catholic Church, as you know, Ethan, needs beauty in all of its areas, in the physical world, but also in the digital world as well. And they focus on
beauty. That's why I post pictures of myself online every day.
And that's why I consume those photos. Indeed. I make sure to consume them every time. But, you know, it's hard to know exactly what a good website looks like, especially if you're not a pro. There's a je ne sais quoi about website design. You know what I mean? Yes. We're like something that Deacon Steve, I know many Deacon Steves, wonderful people, but something that Deacon Steve thinks looks great is actually super hard to navigate and is obscene. But see Dan over at Briefcase Marketing, he knows what looks good and is easily usable by old people and toddlers alike.
Yes. And the nice thing is he's got experience. This is not just like a startup guy who doesn't know what he's doing. He's worked with small Catholic parishes all the way up to $250 million companies. So this is a guy who has a ton of experience and knows what he's doing. He's going to be very professional. He's going to set up your website. He's going to help you walk through it. He's going to maintain the website for you, do everything that needs to be done so that the people that just want to know when mass is and just want to know where the fish fry is located on the parish grounds can find that information quickly and easily.
I want to give you an example of something that he did for a parish in Ohio that he can do for your parish. So if you want this at your parish, just, you know, I'll give you a call to action at the end. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase actually to sign your parish up. But St. John Cantius had this old website that was just awful. It needed an update. It was one of the most beautiful churches in its area, but no one knew that because the digital footprint of the parish was ugly. And so Dan came in and he provided a professional photographer to capture the church. The photos were used across all marketing material, including the website. He designed CTA buttons to get people to sign up for events all throughout the website, so people that are thinking about joining the parish could join and actually become a part of the community. And since that launch, they've received nothing but positive feedback from website visitors. They had an easier time navigating it. There are more people were able to show up to parish events, and they were able to quickly send updates without those spammy pop-ups you see sometimes on websites. So if your parish is having that problem, that's the problem that Dan can solve. So go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase, fill out a quick form, and Dan will get in touch with you, see how he can help you. It might be a big project, small project, whatever you need. Email Dan. Well, not email, sorry. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Professional podcaster, this guy right here.
TheCrunchCast.com/briefcase, Briefcase Marketing. Thank you so much for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
All right. Question for the group. Some context. In the past, I have typically looked towards the women that I have existing friendships with for potential relationships. I've never gotten opinions on this, but I've always been of the assumption that asking people on a date is a one and done kind of thing, like one rejection and done. My question is that the general consensus, or is there some time period of maintaining the friendship where if you're still attracted to them, you can ask again? I imagine it's not, but I'd like some confirmation rather than just my assumption. Very Catholic question, both confirmations and assumptions. But he's concerned that he's like, if I like a girl and I ask her out, she says no. What's like, is it a dead lead? When does it resurrect, you know?
Well, you have to have a certain number of reach outs over a 3-month period in order to officially move it into the dead lead full file in your CRM. So have you done the right amount of reach outs? Have you made enough calls? Have you left enough messages? Have you tried text? Have you tried email?
Are you leaving notes in the dialer?
Yeah.
It's important.
I know, it's hard. Not all the people do that. It takes discipline. Anyway, just a little sales joking around for you.
Yeah, just a little sales. Yeah, right. Let's just move on right there. Let's just jump right into the question.
I hate that guy on Instagram.
I know. I hate him too. Videos. But it's because he's correct.
It's because he's so unfunny and he has one joke.
No, that's what you do. Man, we have one joke. What are you talking about?
We have lots of jokes. You did the poly thing.
No, I have one joke and it's Protestant bad. That's my one joke.
What's my one joke? I feel like I have a variety of jokes.
You haven't found your tattoo on the back.
You're saying I'm not funny.
Yes. No, you haven't found you haven't found your one joke yet. I think your one joke is coming.
Yeah. It's going to be guy be normal, please. I beg of you.
I like that guy.
Yeah. I think here's my answer to your question.
Mostly because he makes fun of people in HR.
Yeah.
And
you don't like HR.
Yeah, except for Camille, our HR specialist.
The answer to your question is I would just treat it as if it's not going to happen.
Yes.
And there are situations where you can ask a woman out, she would say no, and then she comes back around. But this is the exception, not the norm. And if this does happen, she will make it known to you.
Yes, they do this.
She will flirt with you.
Mm-hmm.
Her friends will say, hey, looks like you and Sabrina have been getting along well lately. What do you think about that? Like, she'll have her agents out working.
Yeah.
So it will be obvious
to you.
You'll
get manipulated into asking her out again. Don't worry.
Yes, it will be obvious to you. So I think just if she says no, treat it as a no forever. You'll be much happier this way.
Yes. Most
I'm not saying it's impossible, but I am saying that you asking her out three times in a row over the course of a year is probably not best for your happiness, not best for her happiness. So I think it's good. I think just let it be. Stay friends if you want to.
Yes. So to answer your question, it is functionally a one and done thing. Sorry. Especially if you're friends and you see each other often, because it's like balls in her court. If she wanted you to ask her out, she'd probably let you know by now. So
yes.
Sorry. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but
girls will flirt with you when they like you. Like I wish every guy, I could grab every guy and be like, if she liked you, she would text you. She would sit near you. She would find excuses to talk to you. She would stick around. She would stick around with you when her friends had left. You know, like she would stay talking to you. She would say, we should go get food. Like she would say things to you, trying to find reasons to be with you and around you.
Yes.
And if she's not doing these things, odds are she doesn't like it.
Yeah. The reverse as well. If she is doing all of those things, that means she might just
be friendly.
Like, yeah. She's really friendly. Yeah. So you might just want to
It's
anyway,
hard.
Sorry.
I don't think girls that are just friendly do those things though. Like
No.
Exclusively. If she's doing this to all the guys, yeah, whatever. But if it's just you and it feels like
you have
can
you seen
see
the video how to tell if a girl likes you?
No.
Everybody's seen that video.
Yeah.
It basically goes through that. It's a guy who's like, you know, she's touching my arm. She's flirting with me. He's like, yeah, you know, you still can't really be sure. It's like, I took her on a date and we're kissing and like, she might, have lost her. Yeah. We got married. We had a child together.
Kids, yeah.
She might still be just in it for the money, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Last question.
I'm ready.
How many women can you date
at once
within the same college or young adult group before you become that guy? I know the answer and it's one.
I feel like we just answered this question.
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay. Maybe not.
No. How many women can you date within the same college before you become that guy? I can tell you from experience, the answer is not many. You could become that guy pretty quick. But we'll move on. Is this something that you think I should be worried about? I'm putting myself out there with the girls I'm most interested in going on some dates. Part of me thinks I'm being too picky with the women I meet in person and could be going on more dates. But in my experience, there's always a couple of women in a group that I find cute, but don't end up asking out because I enjoy being part of the group. and I don't want to be known as the guy who asks out all of the girls. So I tend to pick and choose. On the other hand, had I seen these girls' profiles on a dating app and said, I probably would have swiped right on them and then taken them out on a date if one of them matched with me, which makes me think that maybe I'm missing out on some great people because I happen to have met them in the same place. What do you think? It's a good question.
This is a good question. We kind of spoke to this a couple weeks ago where we talked about, like, it's not a big deal to ask out multiple women in the same friend group. And I think this still holds true. Like, if you like someone, ask them out.
Let them go. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it sounds like, I'm going to tell you what I think it sounds like, and you can tell me if this is too harsh, but I think you're afraid.
I think he should be afraid.
Why? Because women are scary?
No, because friend groups can be
nuts.
You can... I made a few mistakes in my life, Ethan. I'm operating out of my wounds here.
Yeah.
Made a few mistakes in my life and maybe was a little too hasty with certain things and developed a reputation in a matter of weeks. It was not good. But luckily, summer break came and it ended.
I think you can do things strategically to avoid any type of negative reputation.
Yes, so perhaps if you had a little more tact.
If you have tact, and I'm thinking like just asking like, hey, I'd like to take you on a date. I know we're in this friend group. You know, I don't want it to be weird, but I would love to take you out. She says yes. Great. You do something super low stakes and you just avoid any type of like physical or emotional intimacy. I think this is the problem, is like guys will just assume that because I've gone on a date or two with a girl, that entitles us to some level of intimacy. And intimacy is the problem. Because if there is some intimacy shared, let's just stick with emotional for now, because physical is kind of obvious. But if it's like you share things about yourself that the rest of the friend group doesn't know, you know, to try and like further the relationship, then if it doesn't go any further, then like she knows stuff about you.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I didn't consider that.
And it like creates this weird dynamic that can break up a friend group. And then physically it's obvious. It's like we made out and now it's weird because I don't really like him, you know, or whatever the thing
also,
is, right?
Yeah. It's like we're all sitting in a group and you've made out with three of us. That's kind of strange.
Cause like in this friend group, it's like basically pretty much everyone's at the same level of like shared knowledge about themselves typically. But if you and like two other girls all like know things about each other, then it does create like a weird, like, what do we do with this? And the easiest thing is just to get rid of you. So I would say like you can go on dates, but you have to be very cognizant of how deep you're getting, what you're sharing about yourself, what you're trying to extract out of her. And if you like stay at that level, unless you know that it's going deeper, then the girls will be like, oh yeah, that was fun. You know, like we all kind of went on a date with him. It was good, but didn't really go anywhere. And no one will care really.
That,
in my opinion,
maintaining the emotional, I think the emotional intimacy, the guy who thinks like this is probably not going to be the guy who makes out with all the girls in the friend group. Correct. I will say that he might be the guy that overshares with all the girls in the friend group. That's definitely possible because I think emotional boundaries are a little harder to identify.
Yeah.
How would you identify an important emotional boundary? They're easier once you get married.
They are.
It's super easy to be like, this, I don't share anything that I have not shared with my wife, basically. Yeah. It's easy yardstick.
Generally, like if something is like trauma or wounds, like that's a big thing, like, oh, I'm gonna share my wounds with you. Like, you don't need to share your wounds really with her. You can talk about your struggles. I maybe wouldn't talk about your sinful struggles. You can talk about like the things that make you sad, but I wouldn't talk about the things that make you like stay up late at night and cry. You know, like you have to kind of like be who you are, but there's like things, I think you just know like intuitively, like there are things that are personal to you that you probably don't need to like bring up, because it's not like if you have to preface it by saying like, I don't tell very many people this, or I can't believe, you know, I'm about to say this. Like if you have to say that type of phrase before you get into it, then it's probably
big red flag. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But people do that. They're like, I don't tell very many people this. It's like, I don't know if I want to know it then, actually. I think there's a reason you don't tell very many people that. And it's like, it's your second date. You're at the spaghetti factory and you're about to let it rip. You know,
the Spaghetti Factory.
Don't do that.
iCarly sounding restaurant. You
know? I think it's real. I think they have
it. No, you're thinking of the Macaroni Grill or the Cheesecake Factory.
Shut your mouth. Spaghetti Factory. Oh, it exists. And
old Spaghetti Factory. The Old Spaghetti Factory is an Italian-American style chain restaurant in the U.S. owned by OSF International.
Yes.
Locations. List of. It's a Canadian restaurant.
There's one in Japan.
How many?
What if we kissed at the Old Spaghetti Factory in Tokyo?
Locations. Did you know the Old Spaghetti Factory has over 40 locations? View all locations. Where's the one nearest to where you are? California. This is too much. There's a lot in California. I think this is more of a West Coast thing. Hawaii, Indiana, Kansas, Wichita, Kansas. There you go. That's how you know about it. Let's call the Old Spaghetti Factory. 316.
I would like to end the podcast.
Okay.
You didn't believe that it was real, but I
have you been to a spaghetti factory?
Yes. I have.
What do they serve there?
I'm going to let you guess.
We're going to move on. Do they have like a signature dish?
Yeah. Hot dogs.
Is it just spaghetti? Every entree is a 3-course meal.
I'm going to end the show because I see that look in your eyes, and that means we're going to do this for 10 minutes, and I don't want to do this for 10 minutes.
But it's a fun bit. Hold on. It's
Reading the Wikipedia page for something is not automatically making it a bit.
Let's find out if the Old Spaghetti Factory founder also invented toaster strudel. What if he also invented toaster strudel, Ethan? We broke TGI Fridays wide open. The Spaghetti Factory is next.
We're cutting edge journalism.
Whole operation.
Yeah.
Oh man.
When is HBO gonna come finished. Calling? Okay, good. I was just
joking. I'm finished. All right. Man.
This is a great podcast. If you have a dating question, you can go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord. We have a dating corner channel. It's popping off all the time. And people are asking questions, and you could be asking questions. You could be giving answers, and you can join the 1,100 other people in our Discord that talk about these things all the time. So go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord. And if you like our podcast, you go to patreon.com/thecrunch. $10 a month gets you a bonus episode every Friday. And we'd love to have you over there on the bonus show. Patrick, you got anything else for the people?
Whenever you stop me from doing a bit, I like to imagine that everyone at once is going, no, continue. Let him keep going. We want to laugh together for just one more moment. That's what I think of. Even though in reality, it's probably a bunch of our patrons going, Patrick, shut up.
Please let us know in the comments of this episode if you wanted Patrick to continue with the Spaghetti Factory Wikipedia reading for the next 10 minutes. All right. And then the rest of our episodes, we'll go based off of that response. So,
welcome to the Old Spaghetti Factory watch along podcast.
Choose wisely.
We went to every Old Spaghetti Factory in America.
Not bad.
No one would watch that video. It's not.
We would finally learn what they serve there. All right. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you guys next time.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.